it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We return to the men's room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, the exciting return of Who Sucks Less on the way at 4:30, but first time for a few emails from the men's room at KISW.com.
You've got mail.
You've got mail.
Couple emails from our question when it comes to relationships, personal, job, family. When did you know it was time to go? Guys, I had a girlfriend who I had told I was going home and didn't want to hang out that evening after work. So I go to my apartment, hanging out with my roommate, and after a couple hours, I go to my room, and there she was.
Whoa!
Just sitting there the entire time on my bed.
That's weird, man. That is weird.
Yep.
Weird.
Only guys, I ended my marriage when I saw how his daily drunken verbal abuse was affecting my daughter. She just turned two, didn't talk, and her behavior started to shift. Once I filed and he left the property, not only did I feel a weight was lifted, but her attitude completely changed. I endured a year of crap, hoping it would change, then stayed to keep the family together. But seeing her reaction to it, I realized it's not worth having parents this way together.
No.
Then most of his family shortly after became, they knew how he could be, but it was all my fault. And I need to see his daughter whenever he was allowed to. Over 4 years later, and both are doing fantastic.
Okay, well,
she
good.
And the daughter.
Jeez, man.
Guys, I dated a hot chick with a mohawk in college, found out she was on black tar.
Oh,
so,
wow.
That was the end of that.
Heroin.
Yes.
Yeah.
As we move on to the birthdays, brought to you by Men's Room Roasted Red Salsa from San Juan Salsa Company.
Dip responsibly.
Couple birthdays.
You know what, Miles? I bet they let it rest a little bit.
What's that?
After they make
the rested,
it?
Yeah. Rested,
rested,
rested, rested,
rested,
rested, rested
red salsa.
Actually, someone found it earlier. I'm trying to find that.
The salsa.
The salsa.
They found the salsa.
The Prairie Center Market in Coopville.
Thank you, Coopville. Prairie Center Market in Coopville.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Olivicholas.
They need to open one of those in Times Square.
A Coopville?
No, just a Prairie Center Market.
Want to wish our son Dominic, pronounced Stinky, a happy sixth revolution around the big ball of fire. When he's not busy digging for buried treasure, he's been doing an amazing job in swimming and ninja classes.
Wow. I didn't know you could offer that.
Can he get the longest fart you have, followed by a smell it, and Mickey and Goofy talking about what he can look forward to now that he's turning six. Lots of love from Mommy and from Daddy.
Well, gosh, now that your sister's old, you can start hassling your parents to take you to try for American Ninja Warrior. So I expect you to keep climbing walls, swinging from ropes, jumping on your bed, basically just doing everything that your parents ask you to stop doing because you might hurt yourself.
Smell it.
Yeah, the funny thing is, everybody knows, just like in Disney World, ninjas run on ice cream. Ice cream sandwiches, milkshakes, so get a couple in tonight.
Sounds like a terrible slogan.
Ninja classes?
Yeah, American Ninja Warrior style.
Oh, is that a real thing?
Yes. So it.
I thought like, he was just like hiding in the house. Or
it's almost more like.
Or sneaking up on people.
Like selective parkour obstacle courses.
Okay.
Right? So, I mean, you're climbing up rope ladders. You got to swing across stuff. You got to keep your balance. And you have a limited amount of time to achieve either 8 or 10 goals, I guess it is.
A lot of upper body strength.
There are a ton of upper body strength, for sure.
Gentlemen, please help me wish my husband Anthony a very happy 34th birthday. Can I get a Your Penis Is Too Small? And Coke Ted talking to Coach Ted about their favorite ways to get hyped up for the fall. Thanks, guys. You're my favorite podcast, and I love watching your ridiculousness on YouTube now.
Oh, thank
you. Lots of love there from Kylie. If you want to check that out, YouTube at KISW Rock. Get there and subscribe to the channel and enjoy us there on YouTube. So we have Coke Ted talking to Coach Ted about their favorite way to get hyped up for the fall.
Like every season, it's pretty simple cocaine.
Are you switching music or no?
Well, fall, autumn, a lot of things get fired up, eh?
A, the marching band. B, practice over playing games. Maybe we're having some dips. Now, that other guy is going to tell you one thing. Cocaine! Cocaine, man! Drugs! Do a bunch of drugs! No matter what's up here, just keep doing drugs! Forget your wife, forget your life, do drugs!
Hey, guys,
Fires! The NFL football. There's lots of things in the fall. You kids, you don't need drugs. Don't listen to Coke Daddy's an idiot.
Shelly is my lovely wife of 11 years, and today she is 41 years old. So can she get some turtle sex medleys and the Dirty Germans, providing tips on tickling the pickle? Much love to you creeps, four of you. That from Ryan.
Yeah, if you effectively want to do some pickle tickling, I would just say, put your pickle where Shelly is smelly.
Yeah, the other thing is, maybe he gets quit all this tickling and gets you shucking the pickle.
Yeah, pickle shucking.
Yeah.
It's a German word, pickle shucking.
Yeah, and we all know what kind of pickle he's grasped there.
Yeah.
It's a gherkin.
It's a bit of gherkin.
All right, guys, here you go.
Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday to you, to you, to you.
Yaws of Dirty Germans brought to you by Men's Room Original Sausage. Available through Uli's World Famous Sausage, mensroomlive.com, and other fine retailers. Mmm, Schweinefleisch.
Thank you, Mom. A couple of extra emails. Our question yesterday about going to shows, concerts, memorable experiences.
How do we
phrase that exactly?
I don't exactly remember. You remember
it all. Hang on, I got it. It is when it comes to money. When it comes to blowing money, was it worth it and what wasn't?
Some of you are in the car right now to do that. Subject is Duran Duran.
Oh, hey.
Guys, in 2023, I spent half my retirement on Duran Duran.
Bam.
Saw them in Seattle in May, fantastic seats, then flew to Minneapolis to see them later that summer. That time I was third row, end of the aisle, right in front of John Taylor. And the way the aisles were angled, I was basically front row. Also stayed at the Four Seasons. Do not regret a dime. Here's a pic of John and Nick Rhodes taking a pic of me. Duran Duran Forever, that from Trista. Never stayed in a Four Seasons. I've never done that.
No, I have not.
Don't they have other versions of Four Seasons, though?
Or the...
Three Seasons? I don't know.
That one you stayed at in San Diego, that one on the beach, that might be like part of their portfolio.
But is it a cheaper version? Because it does not say Four Seasons.
I know I've never stayed in a Ritz-Carlton before. I've never stayed in a Four Seasons. And I've never... Oh, I have stayed in a Fairmont.
Fairmont. Done that a couple. San Francisco and Toronto.
At Lake Louise. Yes, up in...
Where the hell is Lake Louise?
Canada.
Okay.
Up there near Banff and all that crap. But I did see Duran Duran, and that was a hell of a show.
That was a great show.
They put on a hell of a show. Subject is cars. Hola, fellow dinosaurs. I just sat here and counted all the cars I've owned. 20 cars and trucks and 3 motorcycles.
Wow.
Damn.
I'm sure I have a story for all of them, but this is the good one. 1992. Had a 1972 Chevy Love with a 327 2-speed Power Glide. I was bringing my friend and wife back to Klamath Falls from Eugene, where he was going to trucking school. We were just outside of Oak Ridge, and I hear her whisper something to her husband. And he said, "Nah, go ahead." Next thing I know is she's grabbing my junk and undoing my pants. She got naked, and it was on. 15 minutes later, I'm driving, and they are doing it. Bam, I'm getting pulled over. Finally convinced the cop that all was good with them and that I went to jail for DUI and smuggling 2 grams of hash in and out of booking. Congrats on 20 years. Good times. That Bam. From Raymond, the transplant from Klamath Falls.
Now, the men's...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Room wants to know who sucks less.
Yay, time for Who Sucks Less. Steve and Thrill, you bring us three stories from the news each and every week. They always suck. It's up to us, though, to determine out of the three stories which one sucks the least. Now, if you happen to like the Men's Room on Facebook or follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live, the debate is already underway on Who Sucks Less.
All right, like I said, no particular theme today, just a little bit out there. So let's just get to it. And let us start in Italy, where a 70-year-old Italian man, he stands accused of pretending to be totally blind. For over 50 years, during which time he collected over $1.16 million in disability payments. Now, the man, whose name has not been revealed, he had been declared completely blind over five decades ago following a work-related incident. Now, since then, he'd collected over $1 million. But when the finance police, side note, Italy has finance police, when they conducted cross-checks, something caught their attention, so they decided to follow and video record him. That's how they caught him performing gardening work with dangerous tools and carefully checking out produce at the market before buying it. Not the normal acts of a blind person. Now, the officers observed and followed the man for over 2 months, gathering evidence that he was not blind. Now, during this time, he was filmed moving effortlessly through the city, doing his own shopping, visually inspecting several products, and paying with cash without any assistance. He was subsequently charged for fraud against the Italian state. Now, following their investigation, the financial police, they informed the actual authorities of the immediate suspension of all welfare and social security benefits, and also ordered a tax audit, which resulted in taxation over $200,000 in illicit proceeds, equivalent to the income unduly received by the accused over the last 5 years. He's been doing this for 50. They only got him in the last 5 years, but that's the longest period of time for which they can do that. Anyway, the prosecutor's office also ordered the 70-year-old fake blind man to be indicted for fraud charges against the state. Now, just real quick, Mike and I did the quick math on this morning. So the guy made $1.16 million.
Over 50 years.
Over 50 years. Mm-hmm. He made just over 20 grand. It was like $23,000
a year.
It just seems to me
fraud for...
It was 23 grand a year. That's almost more disappointing. It's not like he was making 100 grand. 23 grand a year over 50 years. Too much effort for me, but whatever. All right, so he got busted.
Jesus, dude, get a job.
Now we go to Peru, where a bishop submitted his resignation to Pope Leo after a Vatican investigation revealed that he was secretly dating multiple women simultaneously. 51-year-old Ciro Lopez, bishop in Peru, he stands accused of having up to 17 secret lovers, although he denies the allegations against him as part of a defamation campaign by, quote, dark hands. But he handed in his resignation. Now, the Vatican investigation began after an investigation by Kevin Mancada. He's a journalist for a Peruvian newspaper. And that journalist found that Lopez had been exchanging explicit messages, photos, and videos with various women. On top of that, Lopez had accidentally sent pictures and videos intended for his mistresses, plural, but he accidentally sent them to his house cleaner, who then alerted the Catholic Church. Now, a nun who was one of Lopez's lovers, she was jealous of a lawyer that the bishop was also seeing and then sent information about his affairs to a third lover who then got into a fight with the lawyer. So that lifted the lid on a serious abuse of power. Now, many of the 17 women, they were too scared to come forward because they were frightened of him. Well, that was the trigger. The case came to light because a woman found out that the bishop was dating several of them at the same time, and that frankly pissed her off and all the other women. As stated earlier, Lopez is believed to have accidentally sent his house cleaner pictures and videos intended for his mistresses, which only confirmed her suspicions. Because a house cleaner promptly filed a complaint with the Catholic Church claiming that she had seen women's hair in his shower and that his sheets, quote, had stains, which she had to clean. So she's getting up close and personal with his fluids. But in light of all the evidence, Lopez, he was forced to hand in his resignation as bishop, even though he continues to deny the charges against him. 17 women.
Is that uncommon, would you guess?
17, yeah.
17 at the same time. I mean, look, man, I don't care what profession you're in or what bag of BS you want to sell me. People do things. I understand that. He got busted because he had 17 of them at once.
Does this guy have no scruples?
I'm going to guess not.
It's like anything will do.
Anything will do. And like I said, he had them all separate, so they weren't really aware of each other. And then when the lid got blown off of it, all these women got pissed off at him. And that's when it all came crashing down around them. And now...
17's a lot.
That is a lot, man.
A lot to keep going.
God. And so if you are a bishop, you're not supposed to be with women in general.
I don't know. I mean, I know a priest, no. Once you're below that, so a bishop or something, I really don't know. But either way, you're not supposed to be with 17 of them at once.
Bishop's just a higher-ranking priest.
Oh, is he higher? Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
You're the bishop of an archdiocese.
Correct. So, yeah, chances are, I would think in the Catholic religion, you're probably not married, and I believe you take a vow of celibacy. I believe they even call it that.
So it says whether a bishop can be with women or not depends on the denomination.
Okay.
Catholics. Well, he reported to the Pope, so he's got to be Catholic.
In the Roman Catholic and Eastern Orthodox churches, bishops must be unmarried men or widowers.
Okay.
So they could be married before.
He was not married.
Okay.
Give him that.
Still not bishop around.
I kept thinking the same thing. What's my bishop joke? All right, now we go to England. We're 32-year-old.
Ooh, yeah. They do require them to be celibate even if they are with a wife.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on.
So that's the knock.
That happens all on its own.
Okay.
Just give them the first 5 years and then that'll happen.
Come on.
All right, now we go to England. We're 32-year-old Michael Jones. He has what they call attachment issues. He had a secret moonlight rendezvous on the cycle track with a specific woman despite being banned from seeing her. So Jones had previously assaulted the 6-year-old with whom he shared a mother and son type of relationship. So keep that part in mind. But according to the court there, they heard that he met up with her on 3 occasions during the summer, including breastfeeding from her, putting him in breach of a restraining order. Now, prosecutor Amy Edwards said the woman saw Jones on a cycle path. He looked tired, so she left him a bottle of water. Then they messaged each other on Facebook afterwards, and they met in the park back in July. Now, the woman said she wanted to tell Jones that their relationship was over and for him to stop contacting her. She said it was a mother-son type of relationship, whereas he classified her as his caregiver. So Ms. Edwards said the defendant told her he had a hatred towards women and an odd fascination with women's breasts. Days later, they met on the cycle track again. They kissed consensually, and she allowed him to keep in mind she's 6 years old, and he's a 32-year-old man. She allowed him to breastfeed for 10 minutes.
Well, there's not going to be anything there.
Look, man, right. You're not breastfeeding. I've never breastfed for my wife, but I've hovered over those bad boys. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, as she says, breastfed for 10 minutes on a cycle track. He told her he spoke to women of her age as a way of getting back at his mother. Now, the woman later says she knew it was strange behavior, but it had been a part of the relationship. A little bit later, Jones rang the woman to say that he was starving and asked her to come to his apartment. But when she did, he would not initially let her leave. Now, when she did leave, she left the area for a little time to stay with a friend because she was afraid of what might happen next. A couple of weeks after that, Jones told his probation worker about the secret meetings in concealed locations. Anyway, probation officer told the cops, and in a statement, the 6-year-old woman said her health had worsened due to the stress of the ordeal.
I mean, the issue is, though, she kept consensually meeting up with them.
She did. But in theory, legally, if they say you can't, you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
I mean, right. Like I said, man, these are weird today. But that's what we got.
I'm taking the guy in the UK.
Sucks the least?
Sucks the least.
Sucks the most.
But there's a no contact order.
Hey, Homelander wants a little milk. You let Homelander get a little milk.
Jesus. Damn it.
Yeah.
That's exactly who I thought of too, Ted.
That's the first thing
he's
got to
find a new woman because that woman's dead. Or she's just completely disfigured from that explosion.
Yeah.
Hey, either way, the whole thing is strange. I don't know. The bishop, like, that's just too many women.
Well, Ted, I think the Italian guy sucks the most. And then
the guy who faked the blindness for 50 years.
Because it was 50 years in, you know, over $1 million in disabilities that could have gone to people who could have used that.
Actually had disabilities.
Yes. Yeah. Did not, and they went to him. So he was milking the system for a number of years.
I credit him, though, for taking such a small amount over time. Nobody really noticed.
I think that Mike and I agreed earlier. We both think that the bishop sucks the least.
Yeah.
Only because this is a problem. Oh, yeah, he has created for himself. He did not break any laws.
Nope. And he checked himself
That's
out.
That's all.
He backed away. Like, nope,
you got a problem with 17 angry women. Have fun with that.
Yeah, you kind of created that.
Yeah.
Okay, coming up, it's a 5:08. We'll drink and toast with a shot of the day. You are listening to The Men's Room.
99.9 KISW. The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill.
All right, coming up at 5:08. We'll drink and toast with a shot of the day. And we do have your headlines on the way at 5:50. But first, quick check in with Mike Hawk and some of the stories and headlines he is not working on.
Well, thank you, Miles. Some employers are turning toward offering down payment assistance to help their employees move closer to work.
Why don't you just give them a raise?
No.
I mean, you know, whatever, man.
That'd be stupid.
If you got the money to do one,
they
you
don't
got money
need more
to do
money.
The other.
They need more help. They mean, yes. They need more dependency on their job.
We need you to be closer.
That's right. Because everybody wants to move closer to work. So you can get that emergency call.
I think a lot of people would move a lot closer to work if they could afford it.
Sure.
Yes. I mean, they would too, but yeah. I think they'd also be content to stay where they're at if you took that same money and paid them more.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, hey, you got a problem at work? Pizza party.
Bam. That's right.
That's it.
I've always tried to live as close to work as possible.
Yeah.
Just to make it easier.
Sure.
And I will say that the only reason that I want to be closer to work is so that it doesn't take me near as long to get home.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's everyone's thing. But again, if they said, Mike, stay where you're at, but we're going to give you a raise.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
I'm happy.
Because I've already been living with
this. I'm 3 miles away. It can still take me 40 minutes some days to get in.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy.
No matter what, it takes me 40 minutes to get home.
Mm-hmm.
Sucks. But you know what? I like where I live. I'm happy with it.
That's it.
I mean, it's tough, right? I think some people would obviously stay downtown, you know, closer to work. So, I mean, some people are always going to live way outside of work because they just want land and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But I have a ton of friends that I know would much prefer to live closer to Seattle. They just can't afford it.
Sure.
Yeah, Seattle does not make that easy.
No. New data finds more than half of internet articles are AI generated.
Well, no kidding.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Well, they fired everybody.
Yep.
We know this.
Right. We know.
Yeah. We know.
We know. It's all AI.
I mean, yeah.
That's what everybody saw coming when Pandora's box got opened.
Yes.
That's exactly
what everyone predicted.
Happen.
Even the idiots predicted this. Everyone knew.
Right.
You don't need to tell us.
Movies that didn't know how exactly AI was going to work predicted this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. It begins.
So in other news, everyone, you were right.
Yeah.
Yay.
You called it. You knew exactly what was going to happen.
I mean, there just isn't a business. There's never been a business invented that isn't going to take a shortcut.
No.
Ever.
Right.
Ever.
And you know why they do? Anywhere that they can cut expenditures at all.
I get it. But don't complain about the problem you created later.
Right.
I mean, there is always outliers, right? I always bring up, like, Peter Bell. There's a few companies that
sure,
do it, right?
Sure,
but
sure.
They're, unfortunately, they're few and far between.
Right.
So if newspapers could just generate articles and not hire people, that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, say it all the time. Right. If you create Frankenstein's monster, you just have to deal with the monster.
Right.
Right. You created it. You put it out in the world. Figure it out, man.
Speaking of which, Amazon is expected to hire 250,000 holiday workers.
Yeah.
Holiday workers.
Yeah, holiday.
Mm-hmm. Part-time employees.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We fired the slate of them last time. Now we're going to hire them back probably for less than we had the last ones.
I wonder how many people do it every year. Just knowing. Because, I mean, like, we know Amazon's going to do it. We get why. It's the holidays.
It's a temp job, yeah.
But I wonder how many people are like, I did it last year and the year before. I will do it next year.
I mean, my brother did it for UPS for years.
Yeah.
And then he ended up just, like, they'll just keep some people on. So he ended up working there, I think, for like a year. But he did it a couple Christmases in a row, and it was good money.
Yeah, it's good money.
Yeah. Get her done.
You just got to work Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's kind of part of the deal.
Gotta sacrifice that, but hey, you're getting money.
Somewhere.
Getting a little extra cash. Put your thinking caps on, boys. Time for the Merriam-Webster Word of the Day. I'm giving you guys about a 60% success chance on this one. It's one that you guys have heard of, but I don't know that you guys can pull it out. It is a verb and a C word, careful, that means to come together to form one group or mass.
Congregate.
Congregate. I like it, but no.
It's not congregate.
It is not congregate.
Say it again. It's a C word.
To do this is to come together to form one group or mass.
Congeal?
Congeal, I like it, but no, it is not. The word is coalesce.
Okay.
Like a coalition.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's I know coalition.
I mean, Miles, I still don't think you're wrong.
Right.
It just wasn't the word of the day.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
This is the word for tomorrow.
You can still have a congregation.
It's tomorrow.
Once you coalesce,
right,
you can become a congregation.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
I like coalition, though.
Coalition. It does sound a lot more tough.
Yeah, I'm coalition.
This is a coalition.
That's how I describe myself.
Coalition.
Well, I think now people would think of it different, but back in the day when I grew up, Jesse Jackson had the Rainbow Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Fantastic.
You're right. You know, used to be the Rainbow Warriors, but things have changed.
Schools are starting
just taste the Skittles.
Schools are starting to ban the viral Gen Z slang 6-7.
What does it even mean?
I don't know. I think it is one of those things, because I have
taken a few extensive dives into what exactly this means.
Yeah.
And from what I can understand is that it is completely nonsensical.
Uh-huh.
Came
from a song.
What does it entail? What's the context of it?
None.
If you're saying it to me, what does that mean to me?
The more I look at it, the more I feel like it's just, you bring it up whenever it just feels right to bring it up.
6-7.
Yeah, it's hard to explain.
Sometimes they laugh when 6-7
hits. It's just hilarious.
Right.
You laugh every, kind of almost like we do with 69, except that 6-7 also could be like 6-7.
Right.
Like, so it's like you could use it in a proper sense, but also if the teacher says it, it's just hilarious.
Right.
All right.
But the thing
was, you think that's why they're banning it? Because apparently it's completely non-offensive, but right. It's just the fact that the class giggles.
They're bugged
by it. If a teacher or an adult says it.
Right.
So it's nonsensical. They say it means so-so.
But here's the thing.
It can.
Average, yeah.
It can. One but the thing is, but that as you go on, like, there are teachers who are like, I can't count in my classroom because I'll go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Aha, 6, 7.
But here's the thing.
And they lose their minds.
Listen, it's going to happen when you say 69. You can ban it all you want. The kids are still going to laugh. You're not going to solve your problem.
Right.
I guess that's the thing.
And the thing is with the 69.
We can't say 69 without one of us chuckling.
Correct. Just, but that makes sense, though, because of what it actually represents. That's funny.
But that's, well, I won't say it's filthy. It's awesome. But you would hope kids aren't referencing that.
Of course.
But this is a non.
This one has no meaning to it. Right. That's why I don't get it. Like, okay, 69, it's stupid. It's childish. It's nonsensical. It's fun. It's right. But it's funny. And I understand where that's coming from.
Sure,
it's a little naughty bit, right? 6-7. There's literally nothing to it.
He's banning it. Like, right now, they just love it. Like, even us talking about it, we're making it worse.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm saying, like, I think it's just one of those things. If we just ignore it, it won't be as funny.
Right. If you want it to go away, use it. Adults.
I have tried.
Old people, use it.
No. The way to do it is have politicians use it.
Right.
Once it gets to the federal level, it is not cool.
Right. Federal employees, if you can start working for us finally, start using 6-7 all the damn time.
It'll disappear.
I want the president to get up there and say,
done.
So 6-7 instead of good enough for government work.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
What are Which is just so-so.
What are you going to do about this subject?
6-7. Done.
Of course, you know what? He's such an internet culture icon at this point. Like, they would probably love it. So, no, he can't do it. Have, like, Nancy Pelosi do it.
It just cut, like, right. If our CEO sent in, it's like, we're at too many 6-7 days. Like, all right. Jump the shark.
Oh, God. Make the old people do it. They'll love it. No, it'll make it go away. Ted, what day is it?
Oh, Mike.
It is Wednesday. Well done.
Yeah, I got you, bud.
It's also National Mushroom Day. I have no list for it. I'm just going to say it's National Mushroom Day.
Ooh.
That reminds me. I'll tell you something later. You're, off air.
I had mushrooms.
I found it.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Good job, Miles.
Thank you.
I'm trying to figure a way to work in spore.
Spore.
Trying to make a mushroom joke.
Gotcha. Hmm. A fun guy joke?
Oh, mushroom walks into the bar. Bartender says, sorry, we don't serve food here. And he goes, but I'm a fun guy.
But I'm a spore.
I'm a spore.
Say it aggressively.
According to a new study.
Halloween, dude. Chill out.
According to a new study, if you quit smoking later in life, it may slow down the decline in memory. So good news, Miles. You're declining in your you're slowing your memory decline.
Oh, nice.
Good
Thank
job.
God.
Proud of you, buddy.
Me Is too. There a stat that ever says, don't quit at this age?
Right? When's later in life, by the way?
Just keep smoking. Yeah.
I don't know. Like, hey.
If you're over 60, just keep doing it.
Right.
You know who kept smoking? Dick Hammer. He's the Marlboro Man.
Legend.
He's dead now.
He's gone. Everybody's talking about it. I don't know why, but it's game 3 of the ALCS.
Yes.
So, again, I don't like that people are talking about it. I don't want to talk about it because that's superstition. That's one of my superstitions.
Yes.
However, there's a lot of those.
The Men's Room Top 10. The Men's Room Top 10.
So this comes to us via BradfordExchange.com, and it is baseball rituals and superstitions.
All
things
right.
that we don't talk about, things that we do, things that we try to keep the jinxes at bay, if you will. So here we go. They start their list. The rally cap comes in at the bottom of the list.
Okay.
All right.
So if your team is a few runs behind and it's late in the game, fans and players alike will wear their hats inside out and backwards or in other ridiculous ways to try to turn the game around. And that helps me because there's a handful of different iterations of the rally cap. I've seen them, you know, like kind of like fold in the back and like wear it like a dorsal fin.
Right.
I'm like, that's not the rally cap to me. To me, it's inside out. So it sounds like just any non-normal way of wearing
your
hat
is
the rally cap way.
Oh, the Baltimore's ahead of the curve on that.
Oh, yeah.
God forbid anyone just put the frickin' hat on your head as it is designed.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. We've rallying for years, though. Didn't even know it.
Or one that fits.
Right. Oh, no.
I will say, Friday night, last Friday night at the Husky game, game five, people, we were doing rally caps in the Husky game.
Oh, yeah. Full of rally caps. Oh, cool. Yeah, I like it. Well, if you guys recall, as we were getting close to the end of the regular season, we also had a game that went into extra innings. I believe we made it to the 13th or 14th inning. And I think it was 13 innings that we went to that one, and I was in attendance for that one. And that's when not only did we pull out the rally caps to get us tied up to send it into extra innings, but then I had to deploy the rally shoe.
What is Correct. The rally
You remember
shoe?
That from a few years
that
back.
That started a couple years ago, and I'm not positive how it started, but I think it's a Mariners thing. Yeah, it's just like put a shoe on your head.
Yeah, some kid put a shoe on his head, and that sent it out there. All
Do
of a
not
sudden,
let
it won.
Children dictate this.
Right?
Then we now eat our boogers after picking our nose.
And then he goes to the bathroom with one shoe on.
I know. Right?
Then there was Rally Kid. You remember him from a few years back? He was dancing like a maniac, and the Mariners won.
I do remember him.
They invited him back for a couple
games.
Well,
the A's years ago, not the A's, the
Angels.
Angels had that Rally Monkey.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Rally Monkey.
He's just funny because he's a monkey.
Wearing some sort of a lucky item, whether it's old, beat up batting gloves, a favorite undershirt, or the same athletic cup from high school like Mark McGwire did during his 16 seasons in the majors, keeping a lucky item close to
wow.
their hearts.
Wait a minute.
Mark McGwire's like, why are you putting that
You're
out there, man?
You're saying your junk stops growing at high school?
It's Mark McGwire,
is
Miles.
Wow.
He's on steroids.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's a reason why his still fits.
That's thinking. Well, yeah.
Just throwing it out
and
there.
And the cups are pretty. The cup, to me, doesn't matter the size of your junk. It's more about the size of the jock.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Also your bees.
Exactly. Got to tuck those things in.
Well, they you know change over time.
They do.
Yes.
They do. It turns into a cradle more than
right.
a cup.
Yeah, there's
it's more of a hammock.
It still hurts.
Yeah,
it's like a baby Bjorn. You know, it's kind of just
swaddled
for your baby, for your
just,
twins.
Just keep them all swaddled
yeah,
up in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I got it. Baseball rituals and superstitions. Giving credit to the man upstairs after a home run. Home run is an amazing feat for sure, and many players thank God when they get one by kissing their religious necklace, making a sign to the cross, or pointing skyward. You will see almost all of them as they're rounding third, coming in home, just sending it up real quick.
Oh,
I understand
that also
when
has
they
to...
send it up, but after the game, when they say, man, glory to God, I'm like, no, because you're implying that God hates that other team. Right? There's other religious guys on that other who were also praying that they made or missed maybe that last second field goal. So you have made the determination. My prayer told, I don't know, the Giants to suck one because in this game, God wanted this
That's
team to win.
That's not so much what it is. It's not praying for your team to do well. It is more the glory to God is the gifts that God gave you that brought you to where you're at.
All right. That's
also,
fair.
A lot of people do that just as a tribute to someone who's passed on.
Absolutely.
Those important in their lives.
Some Absolutely. People just do it to do it.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, we used to do this celebration that I didn't know was from a black fraternity, but we thought it was cool. Right?
Okay.
Or whatever. But it's the Q Dogs or
yeah.
that one, right?
Yeah, yeah.
We okay. just saw dudes doing it, so we started doing it. And finally, somebody was like, "That you guys are not in a black fraternity.
Yeah. You're not even black. Stop it."
No, we were like, oh, Raven. Had no idea.
Right. Ravens kicker Justin Tucker. He used to point both fingers up in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really matter, did it?
Didn't matter.
I have something
but
else for you.
There is a ton of religious dudes in baseball, but like if I cracked a homer, like that would just be my first reaction to like, suck it!
But it would be, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Just put the hand up, man, and run.
Using the same bat during a hot streak. If you're hitting well on a certain bat, it must be the bat. Kissing their bats, giving them names, etching symbols are also common. Some players go so far as to sleep with their lucky bats.
Also, don't touch mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if I'm hot, like, don't touch
your bat.
Like, yeah. Don't take a cut.
Some guys are devastated by getting jammed up and losing it.
Sure.
You're yeah. like, no.
You know, it's not a thing for JP. You remember against Detroit, he went through like six or seven bats.
Six,
yeah.
seven.
Yeah.
Six, there you go.
God, I'm so happy playing baseball that was never a part of my life.
Was the bats?
Just a wooden bat.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a totally different game without it. But, you know, it's, I don't know. They're heavy.
Spitting on your hands before picking up the bat. One of the best designated hitters of all time, David Ortiz, also known as is known for the spit and hand clap ritual every time he's at bat for the Boston Red Sox.
You also know that's what Hakua Girl was talking about.
It also
about.
Gives you grip, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Watch wide receivers. They spit all on them all the time.
Oh, especially yeah. if you see them drop a pass.
Yeah.
Right? It'll be in their hands. They drop. The first thing they do after grabbing their head is spit directly in their gloves every time.
Refusing to wash hats, helmets, or uniforms during a winning streak.
Yep.
Yep.
That's
yep.
pretty common.
That just makes sense. Not shaving on game days. This is a common practice with pitchers throughout the season. As we saw in 2013 when the Red Sox were on their way to winning the World Series, the playoff beard definitely serves as a unifying force between players and fans alike. That's a thing for the Mariners right now is the playoff mustache.
There's a woman yep. that smokes outside that can do that too.
Oh, no.
She has a beard.
Dude, I had a buddy
playoff beard
that was playing college ball, and I remember he was on the phone, and I picked up his glove and like went to put it on. He was like, "No, like never put your hand in another man's glove. It's bad luck."
Alrighty.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Baseball rituals and superstitions. Do not step on the pitcher's mound if you're a position player.
Yep.
It's his sacred space. Just don't do it.
Sure.
Don't step on the chalk, period.
Who do you not talk to in the dugout?
The pitcher.
That's right. You see it all the time. Other players socialize while the starting pitcher just sits alone at the end of the dugout. It's not that he's antisocial. He needs to be in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
Don't talk to me.
Got a lot of overwhack jobs anyhow. Also, you know what I mean? Like they're like kind of like kickers, except they play.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it, but when you get to a certain level, pitchers can be a different breed.
Pitchers have a different dugout. So they only see these guys once every 7 days.
Yeah.
They don't even know them. Those guys are all in their own little group, like Ted was saying about kickers and punters.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, they are not even a part of the team as far as the teammates are concerned.
Oh, no.
They are, but they're not.
Right.
They don't know them that well.
But I think the same thing with like goalies in soccer and hockey. Right? They are whack jobs. They're very individual. Everyone is very aware of them, but no one really interacts with them. You know, you just kind of leave him alone.
Yeah.
Leave him be.
Do your thing. As far as baseball rituals and superstitions, Miles, radio and TV broadcasters screw this one up every time it shows up. Right around the seventh or eighth inning, they start saying it.
I mean, I don't want to talk about it right now, but I mean, it's worth saying that he's got a no-hitter going right
just,
on.
Well,
right.
Yeah. Well, the worst one is a kicker. He hasn't missed within 40 yards all year. Jesus criminy.
There it is.
Wide right. Whoa.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
How did that happen?
You. It happened
but
to you.
But I also
you.
Think they say it all the time. You only notice it when it happens, and it's like, he jinxed up.
Right.
You do, but a lot of times, I think the reason we notice more, too, is because announcers seem hyper aware of it. So, just like you said, Mike, I don't want to be the one to say it. And you know exactly what we're going to say.
Right.
Whether it's the kick, whether it's the pitch. It's like, damn
That's
it,
all
man.
You have to say at that point. I don't want to be the one to say it. Move on.
Then shut up.
We all know what you're about to say. Shut up. And that's what we get on. Like, no matter what we get on about it, whether it actually jinxes it or not, it's part of the superstition.
And it's a former player most of the time. Like, you know better.
You know the rules.
You're the color commentary guy. Shut up.
God!
Jesus.
He's gone eight straight innings. He just needs three outs, and then he'll have this no-hitter.
Done!
And there's a
blue for a second.
Hey, Brady said that on Sunday's game. Well, it's the first time that Flowers has fumbled. I swear to God, 5 minutes later, he fumbled again.
Oh, yeah.
Fumbled
it.
Again.
Mm-hmm. And then this is the last of the baseball rituals and superstitions. Ted, I think you talked about it earlier this week. Never, ever step on that foul line.
Yeah, don't touch the chalk.
Don't do it.
Don't touch the baseline. It's pretty simple. Jump over it, walk over it, do whatever. Do not touch it.
It is the baseball equivalent of never step on a crack.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
We used to also, if we were in a slump, we would take a teaspoon of dish soap.
Okay. Nasty.
You mean like you swallow?
Yes.
What was the reasoning behind that?
I think maybe you're just trying to, because it's so gross. It'll get you out of your brain.
Okay, I could jolt you into something else.
I don't know. That was just one of the things.
And it'll give you diarrhea. California Highway Patrol conducted a stop when they noticed something off about somebody's license plate, Miles.
What was that?
Tell you about it at 5:50.
Thank you, sir. Headlines are coming up at 5:50. In the meantime, have we managed to drink it time?
Somebody else.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Out there deserves to be recognized. And the men's room knows just who it is.
Aw, oh, crap.
So to you, we say, bottoms up, sailor. You're the toast of our shot of the day.
Drinking time it is, Ed.
It is, Miles. Yes. And oftentimes when it comes to drinking time, it reminds me of that time we were at a barbecue.
You got thirsty?
Yeah, and he said, Ted, it's drinking time. Mm-hmm. And I said, why is there an alligator there?
I don't know. It's weird. That guy brought it.
He's
I'm glad you don't invite him to the party anymore.
Well, that's the last time we did a show in South Carolina.
Now to the drink desk and Steve at Thrill Hill to find out who we're toasting.
Yes, indeed. I was waiting for you guys to get to me. Jesus.
My bad.
We're talking.
Let's tell him the alligator story.
Yeah, I understand, man. Today we toast attorney Michael Dauber of somewhere in Michigan.
Dauber.
Now, God, wasn't that coach?
Yes.
Yeah, Dauber. All right. So he works. He works as a defense attorney, and like any attorney, he will tell you you win some, you lose some. Well, he recently lost one when Judge Yasmeen Pohl ruled against his client in the case. Now, our honoree, he was not physically present at the trial. He opted to join via Zoom. Anyway, after the judge issued her ruling against his client, Michael thought that the trial was over. After all, his screen went black. Well, whether the trial was over or not, the Zoom connection was not. So when Michael said, quote, "Thank you, Judge Pohl, you effing C-bomb,"
oh,
it turns out the judge and everyone else in the courtroom heard him. He has now been charged with criminal contempt.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Just right. Look, he did what he did, but I mean, just chill out.
You can't stay in the courtroom.
I know.
That's all. It's a simple rule. Shut up. It ain't hard. So we pour this booze and we drink this booze because we think it's yummy.
Yummy!
So over the tongue and down the throat to party in our tummies.
Down the hola, bitchola.
All right, it's going to get tested live for Profile This, 206-803-ROCK. Profile This is next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.